through this today. We've got some new information and stuff to pass out from the state legislative. We're going to let the standing class or planning staff cover that in a few. So we'll call this to order and we'll get this party going.
Could I interject one thing real quick? Steve, this was something I think you had way back.
Yeah.
And wasn't it to do with frequencies and you were to do some research on it?
I recall what that was. What that was a engineering analysis done by whoever did
Pinnacle
that, or whoever went back into New York. And the purpose of me bringing that was it had a very easy to understand RF radiation charts, lists, graphs, amounts, and such of a very, very busy cell site. As I recall, there was 3, 4, possibly 5 carriers on it.
Okay.
And a couple of two-way radio antennas that put out far more power than cellulars, because they do. And it showed the, I don't recall whose guidelines, some industry health, guidelines in reference to where it came in below all of that. So it kind of showed how a busy cell site isn't really a out-of-bounds RF criteria issue.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that I have copies of this if anybody would like to have that.
There's a couple of pages in particular that showed all of that.
And we never did pass that out.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
I got 3 pages.
Okay.
Before we get into the final draft of the ordinance that I produced and sent out to the subcommittee, we had a couple things come up. One of those is some federal legislation that just passed. It was tied to the payroll tax measures that Obama signed just a few weeks ago. And there were a bunch of riders on that bill. There are things regarding floodplains. There are things regarding wireless communications. There are things regarding other kind of topics. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those pieces of legislation that drives you crazy. It's kind of a smorgasbord of things. And I think it frustrates us with Congress. I think everybody that showed up at the meeting that day got their little piece in there, I guess.
And a lot of
what's like it's a rather lengthy thing, but we pulled out the portion that was regarding wireless communications. James has prepared some notes, and we do have a responsible county attorney on that. And another item that James is going to cover is building mounts. We talked about them for a while, and we didn't really treat them that much, and so we kind of wanted to revisit that issue, because looking at some of the other ordinances that we've been reviewing over the months, there's a lot of discussion about building mounts, and it was strangely absent from a lot of what we had in there. But there's some reference to it, but not much. So we wanted to kind of run past that issue one more time. And then we'll go through the changes that we had in response to the comments that people have given us for the last few months.
Mostly because we just didn't have a lot of buildings to talk about. Everything we've been referencing has been trees and forests.
And that's mostly commercial and industrial? Is that really the building mounts?
Doesn't matter.
It could be. I mean, it could be commercial, it could be industrial, and that's usually where we're going to find the bigger buildings anyway. But if you look at the zoning map of the county and where our commercial industrial zones are, some of them are high enough that that may be a good spot for them. The Rendata Industrial Park has a bluff that goes up. That's in an industrial zone. It's fairly high. That would be probably a decent spot. It also happens to be Rendata, at least, within the airport overlay district. So there's some issues there. But if the building is already there and meets the airport overlay standards, safety standards, then a building mount on top of that would probably be a better, if you're a pilot, you're going to see a building before you're going to see a pole. So that may be a good place to, that's one of the examples I can think of, a good place to look at building mounts as a preferred alternative.
And we did the airport overlay, so we know that there's a clear line of sight at the moment.
Right.
So
up in the Merlin area in particular, we have some buildings that are probably big enough to maybe consider building mounts rather than new antennas. So, and they're in industrial zones. Anyway, James is going to talk about that. Take it away, James.
Okay.
I'm going to touch on this, the new law that Obama signed in, the law this past February. What really matters to us is basically this statement, and I'll read it. The state or local government may not deny and shall approve any eligible facility's request for a modification of an existing wireless tower or base station that does not substantially change the physical dimensions of the tower or base station. That's our biggest concern.
You said it one more time.
Did this go out to everyone? Mm-hmm. Legal's response?
I think the memo I sent out.
Mm-hmm. No.
This is the memo I sent out.
That's for the rooftop stuff.
Yeah, no, I did not.
No, we just got that the other day, so.
Okay.
It did go out.
State or local government may not deny and shall approve any eligible facilities request for a modification of an existing wireless tower or base station that does not substantially change the physical dimensions of such tower or base station. This basically refers to co-location.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it's talking about. And my concern is that we have already have a draft here. And we talk about co-location in 9950 in our draft. It's page 4 and 5 of our draft ordinance. And I went through to make sure that we were still in the ballpark. My concerns are that when we have application requirements, we should only be asking for things in the application that show proof that they're not changing the tower. So if I'm changing a tower antenna, I want to see a schematic, elevation schematic, showing me where the antennas are and which ones are you replacing. Is the tower getting taller? Are you putting more pads in the bottom? And if they don't, then we're done. We approve it. We move it forward. That's basically the way I read this law.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Can you, I'm just curious, can you ask for things, I don't know if we even did in co-locations, whether we asked for, you know, color and non-reflective and that type of thing, because if we're not just an array, just adding an array to the colo, right? Not really changing, not really adding anything else, yeah. No, that doesn't really make sense. Yeah.
I think things like color and non-reflective surface and things like that, that's not an issue of whether something's being denied or not. That's just a condition that's, you know, what it needs to look like.
So I'm saying, can you still ask for it to look like certain things? Although I'm not sure we do for
legislation, color. Yeah, legislation says that you can't deny it if it's co-located.
So if you have a big, beautiful-looking fake green tree, and they want to put a reflective silver dish on it, we can't tell them no?
I think we can. We just say your condition is you got to make it look like the rest of the tree. Okay. That's not denying the
antenna. We're not denying you, but you have to color the
stuff. So you can still ask for things.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd want to go out there and you've got this thing across the tree and put.
Would be a little silly.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened.
For the sake of mention, because the crux of the discussion was changing towers, antennas, growth, whatever we're talking about in the structure, and immediately the word colo popped up. Since we have last met, many carriers have in their immediate plans the next generation of growth build-out called 4G, as opposed to where we're at with 3G. Mm-hmm. And they many carriers are wanting to add antennas now to the existing structures.
How many applications have we received in the last 2 months?
We have 8. That was just US. And we have maybe 3 more coming from other carriers.
You betcha.
To add
just the 4G antennas.
They're taking 3G out and putting 4G in.
Taking the slow stuff out, putting them back.
We haven't. I don't think we've seen too many additions. I think we did get one that was new antennas, but the rest of them have been replacements.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
a lot
just
of the 4G upgrades, they do include, they can include either replacements or additional antennas. It just depends on what the existing wireless facility has. There are a lot of my work these days is the 4G upgrades to LTE technology. 700
megahertz. Most of them are
the legislation here kind of gets at that as well. Because it does, you know, eligible facilities are a co-location, like you were talking about, as well as removal and replacement of transmission equipment. So removal is pretty simple. I mean, if you're removing something, I can't imagine there being a problem with that. But replacement of antennas, that's covered under this legislation as well.
Most of what I'm getting hammered with in the last bunch of weeks, hammered meaning requests, that some which I can't handle because my towers are full, is the addition, because the 4G that's coming, things that are out there now, the radios, the handsets aren't compatible with that necessarily, so they're not taking out the existing service so much, leaving everybody high and dry, but they're adding this new 4G capacity, so as people migrate to it, it will be there. So in most cases, it's going to be an add. For instance, this is both on my Fielder site and $8. Most carriers, Verizon, and USL specifically, all they're wanting to do is add, sometimes per direction, there could be three called sectors, an antenna that's about a foot wide, maybe 6 foot tall, and maybe 5 inches deep. Not particularly significant, but they're wanting two that direction, two this direction, and two that direction. Well,
doesn't that take up, I'm just curious, doesn't that take up the room that was purposefully left for another company to co-locate
it? It could. If we have now maximized
it. Usually mounted next to the existing antennas, usually on the existing hardware, so it's not at a different height. So if,
true,
for example, US Cellular has their antennas at 100 feet, the 100-foot level, their additional antennas will usually be at that same height, so they're not going to take extra
space.
So it's on the same array? Is that, am I using the right line?
Yes, same array.
Yes. Yes, sector array.
Sector.
Yeah, and the only reason I even said yes to your question, because what can also happen sometimes is it taking up space. Well, space on a tower is not only just physical space, but it's a loading type of space. We just used up all available space because the tower is full, meaning wind and ice, it can't support anymore at any level.
Oh, so
it's a little of both.
So it could also affect the ability to come.
But the applications we've seen have almost all been replacements, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So that's... What we're seeing in the permitting is a little different than what you're seeing, and maybe that's you're seeing months out, but in the here and now, we're seeing replacements.
Yeah, well, and what you can even do is some antennas can be made to do both bands, so there's lots of things in the middle. Personally, I'd like to see replacements, because I'm getting packed out full, and I can't even accommodate these people anymore. If they pulled out existing, I could.
Well, that's the thing. If we can we ask for replace? I mean, if we don't, if it's not replacements, then the towers are going to fill up with 3G, 4G, et cetera, and then more towers are going to be needed for the other companies.
Well, typically, most everything is colo as it is. The other companies are already on them, and they're going to fill up, and then that area already has what they need. So it's not like they got to go elsewhere because they're already covering this geographical area, and they've already got towers in most areas.
Let's go the other way around. Let's say three companies are already on that tower, and all three want to not replace, they want to add, but the tower itself can't carry, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then
it is possible.
The choice to add rather than replace means more facilities.
Well, it could. Where you come into there is you have all these people with 3G phones, and if you're taking down your 3G equipment, they can't use their phones anymore.
They've done that to me over and over, that all of a sudden, no, you can't use your phone anymore, now you have to upgrade your phone.
Well, the Fed's regulated.
I don't agree with it.
In February, I've never seen an OAA. We're analog to digital, but digital, as far as that goes, has never been changed that I'm aware of.
No.
So maybe it was analog to
digital. Yeah, the analog phones were mandated by the Feds to eliminate multiple reasons. One, to give the frequency, because they wanted to take the frequency. But two, because the analog phone, you can't 911. You can't track it.
So maybe that was the change four or 5 years
change.
Ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 08, if I remember.
James, could you touch upon the one section that you were concerned about? And I didn't get a chance to go through Beecher's response, but...
I think they need to talk in more after getting it.
That's a turning, I'm surprised.
Anyway, I was in section or page 4 of our ordinance here. It talks about clear location, and I found one area that might kind of be outside of this law, and I'm looking at it starts on page 4 and on page 5. I'm looking at C, co-location application requirements. There's 4 items underneath that category. 1, 2, and 3, I think, are great. It fits the law, the current law that they're asking. We need those items to make the assessment on if they're growing or not. Item 4 was the one I was kind of concerned about, if that was overreaching. And I sent that question to County Legal. We got a response back, but I need to talk to the gentleman a little bit more because he got confused in some of the sections. So
yeah, you're referring to the wrong section.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I'm going to run that through Legal, so follow up with that. My thinking is looking on the other side of the fence, if I was an applicant, well, I gave you 1, 2, and 3, it's obviously not a change. Why do I need to do 4? I already went as far as I needed to go per the feds. Why do I need to do this registered engineering?
It seems like it would be a building department. I mean, you know, just that the structure can supply.
Yeah.
Well, that would have to be part of the application.
Yeah.
And the complying, they're just saying what they have to do anyway, mm-hmm. according to the FCC, so it's already mm-hmm. federal law that they do B. They just have to show us that they mm-hmm. did it.
Well, mm-hmm. isn't this stuff already done? The tower's already been permitted?
No, but they're changing the tower weight or something. What affects? They're changing.
But according to what he just read from Obama, it's redundant to force them to because all this stuff should already be on file.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I was going with it. You're on the right track.
It
might be going
either.
Too far
right.
in that section.
Should we
that.
Say underneath 3, say, if this is if this is for, what is the new thing that they've got?
Same thing with 3. If everything's already been approved and there's already the structure's there, it's legal, this is basically double paperwork.
But doesn't the law itself that Obama passed say something about if there are no significant changes?
Right. There's no.
So these are the things that we're assuring there aren't significant changes, maybe.
Well, all the cell towers that we have they gone to the county review?
There's probably a few out there that have to, yeah. I mean, they started in the 80s, right? That's when towers started going up. So
sure. Here in 90s, actually.
Here
so
in
the 90s.
Well, I'm not sure that we have a file on all of them.
We might. It's hard to say. I don't know.
Was there not a building permit issued for a tower?
True. Even if you're replacing the antenna, they still have to get permits from the
right.
building department.
So a permit is still going to cover that, what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the only thing that we were mm-hmm. thinking might be a trouble is the statement from the engineer regarding the tower will support additional antenna equipment because it's not really additional antenna. Mm-hmm. It's
well, it might be additional antenna if they're adding 4G and not replacing.
It could be.
They're adding new antenna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you this. I mean, you need to decide what your letter of the requirements are, but as far as industry standards, every time something is added on these towers, at least in my experience since 91, which is ongoing, ongoing, and ongoing, they being the carrier, hires an engineer to do a structural analysis on the tower every single time. I've got USL running it right now, including USL's and Verizon's included needs. So my point being, it's been my experience, they always run a structural analysis anytime they're adding anything. It just seems to be standard procedure for them to do that. Of course, if you wait to request
it. For sure.
Yeah, but it's always done anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I say you just basically just make 4 the instead of 4ABC, just make it 4A, the existing structure will support additional tower of equipment, and move on.
I would say that if the attorney says it's okay to keep all of them.
And the only thing I'd like to also add...
Yeah, our attorney, just to clarify, Beecher is saying the part of C4 that deals with the ability of the tower to support the waves, clearly related to physical dimensions. C4B is related to other federal regulations, and C4C is safety regulation. I don't think we can ignore other regulatory measures because of new legislation. So he's kind of not necessarily wanting to throw that out, but then other parts of his memo kind of directed to questions that we didn't ask.
Yeah, so exactly.
We need to
clarify with him.
Clarify with that.
All right, well, the other thing I'd like to add is where it says a statement from an Oregon registered engineer, I would have to question the validity or requirement of it being Oregon, because the guidelines, the EITI 22 standards, it's a nationwide thing. The procedure to run these engineering profiles are all the same. It's how the industry works, as engineers are trained to do. And many of them are outside of Oregon. I've got sitting on my desk right now, B&T Engineering out of, I'm not sure where, Florida, I believe. I see quite a lot of structural analysis, which is engineering, done by companies that are not in Oregon. And I don't see, I wouldn't understand why it would be necessary to have them in Oregon. Maybe there's something that you folks would understand. But if it's all the same rules, guidelines under these standards, it really doesn't matter who. As long as they're a certified engineer, it doesn't matter where they are.
Like an ASHTO standard.
Yeah.
Which is a standard.
I don't have any problem with that. I don't care if they're Oregon or not.
We'll strike Oregon and just have it as a registered.
Uh-huh.
And, mm-hmm. And above that, what we were talking about before you talked to the attorney, but we can fix it if we say if the previous provisions 1 and 2 have been met in accordance with federal law, the following 3 and 4 are a matter of administrative decision and review.
Well, 3 can be that.
No, before 3. So we make it 2A or... Before three. I don't know whether it should be before 3 or before 4.
Say it again, please.
If the previous provisions 1 and 2 have been met in accordance with federal law, the following 3 and 4 are a matter of administrative decision and or review.
Kind of hedges that bus.
You can still do it, but it kind of gives you the decision of whether they've actually met the law.
They're going to do all 3 of these anyway.
Probably.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't know what it should be between them. And this is all if the attorney says it's not okay.
But
right?
I agree with you there.
If the attorney says it's okay.
Yeah, very few seem to be coming through.
But it's okay. This is if the attorney says it's not okay.
Yeah, that would be our...
Back up.
So is the attorney also checking out of the draft ordinance, so as the sections B 1 through 5 on page 5, it looks like the 3 there should probably be C, or should be, but is C under co-location?
Got it, yep. You're right, that should be G. C should be D on page 5, and D should be E.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was wondering, you know, this federal legislation is brand new, and it's, I think it's probably going to turn into an attorney's dream to try and figure out what all this stuff really means. But I'm just kind of skimming through, some of these might conflict with this new legislation as well. I'm looking at, for example, to the height of the host structure, and the federal language talks about, you know, eligible facilities that don't substantially change the physical dimensions. Yeah. Some might argue that increasing the height of the structure certain amount, but not a significant change, or not a substantial change. I'm just trying to think ahead here. I know that the people are going to be coming at this law from a lot of different angles, a lot of their own different interests. But the wireless companies are going to have their own take on it. Mm-hmm. The cities and counties and states will have their take on it. Or others will. And I know that, David, I think I sent you to the PCIA sort of fact sheet. PIA is a wireless group.
Right.
Represent wireless carriers. And they've kind of gone through this legislation and pulled together how they would define it using FCC definitions. That doesn't necessarily mean that these are the definitions. This is how they would approach it.
Right.
And they according to the FCC, apparently, they define a substantial change as increasing the tower height by more than 10%, for example.
By more than what?
By more than 10%. So that's just something to think about. That's not necessarily the definition, but that's what PCIA is looking at. They're looking at the FCC definition, because apparently the FCC defines a substantial change as, I have a long paragraph here, but basically it's increasing the height by more than 10%. So, and then we're looking at the code here, it talks about...
Paul, can you give me a citation of that FCC?
No, I wish I could. I mean, I'm just looking at their fact sheets to see if they have a footnote on here. They just say the FCC defined a substantial change in base height.
We don't have a
nationwide programmatic agreement, co-location, wireless antennas, one. It's available at, you might want to write this down, available at 47 CFR, Part 1, Appendix B.
47 CFR again?
Part CFR, Part 1, Appendix B is in boy.
Okay.
I think I had emailed you this. I can email it to you again. It actually cites several, now that I look at it, there are several citations. If you can't find it, just let me know and I can.
We've got your memo. But in that paragraph, I didn't see a citation to the bibliography at the end. So I wasn't sure where it was.
Yeah, on that one page fact sheet that I sent you. It's kind of in the lower right corner.
Right, I see it. But
yeah.
In the 10%, there's no reference to a particular...
No, they don't. Well, above it, they talk about... let's see. In the paragraph above, they talk about that telecommunications defines co-location.
Yeah, there's III at the end of the whole paragraph.
Yeah, so I assume that if the FCC is defining co-location, we'll probably find their definition of substantial change in that same sort of
language.
Right. You know, it could be wrong.
That's good because
but I just want to, I mean, that's the PCIA, that's how they're approaching it right now. Of course, like I said, this is probably be attorney's sort of dream here to figure all this stuff out.
Let me get a question at you from probably
David. I'm not necessarily saying that you changed your code because of this language, because like I said, you know how it's going to be different, and I mean, they might not allow, but it's all said and done. The tower height might be considered a substantial change. So it's kind of hard to really make changes, you know, respond to this legislation when nobody really knows what it means just yet.
We're dealing with a few instances like that now.
Okay, to me, here's a valid question. Building code or building permit, is there a definition of substantial build? Because I'm just coming out of memory here, and somebody hopefully will correct me, is if you do less than 50%, it's not considered as substantial, but over 50%, you have to re-shebang the whole thing.
Oh, you're talking about non-conformity statutes, I think.
No. Building in general. So my question is there a building permit issue involving with a percentage of a tower or a percentage of a structure? Okay. Because if there was some definition of substantial in the building code.
Yeah, this federal language talks about a substantial change to the physical dimension. dimension
right.
of the tower base station. I think they're getting at more of the aesthetics of it than the structural capacity or.
Right.
I think, you know, what Paul said makes sense, that it's going to be, this is going to be fought out or, you know, over a period of time through lawyers' interpretation. So for us to try to change on what we think the interpretation is might be.
Right.
Premature.
Well, that's what our attorneys recommended, the same thing. Write the ordinance, kind of make sure that you're not clearly violating the statute as we can, as far as we can tell, but try not to second guess where the thing goes. If you need to make a minor amendment somewhere in the adoption process or even, you know, a year or two later, we can do that.
Yeah, we still got the hearings coming up, so we're going to have a few months yet
right.
to
mm-hmm.
let it weigh its way through. Well, it's hardly worth mentioning, but just for the sake of addressing what is done routinely, which is far less than substantial, it is not uncommon for the antennas to go up 3 or 4 feet above the height of the tower. And that's why I say it's hardly worth mentioning. But a lot of times the sector array will go right at the top, and a little of the antenna will go above, a little will kind of go below that sector array. But since there's typically a lightning rod of about 6 or 8 feet at the top, and I believe that's included as part of the tower, it probably would never exceed the part of the tower. But today-to-day use, often they do exceed by just a matter of feet. And here it says, you know, not exceed at all. So it should be addressed to some degree someday, I suppose.
Okay.
Well, they don't actually tell you. When they come in and they give you a plan, they show you where they're putting their antennas. What they do is they'll tell you, antenna array AGL at 100 feet. Well, AGL means center of the antenna. You know, that's not the
height.
Top of the antenna, not the bottom.
But they'll assume the type of antenna
so
size. So you
yeah.
just look and see. The AGL above ground level, mm-hmm. ground center of antenna.
Right.
Okay. We might have to see if we can.
Re-end.
Yeah, I'd rather not see, you know, a pole like this. And we've got an antenna that's going to be like that. And we've got a co-location opportunity here, but our ordinance is saying, nope, that doesn't make it. Because you're 2 feet above.
Right, line. That's
now,
why I brought it up.
You know, the circular array is here, and you're saying that the antenna
right.
exceeds uh-huh. the height of the tower by a couple of feet. That's
feet.
On our site plan. I don't think it's an opportunity we want to push aside. What we were looking for is tower antenna.
Exactly.
So I,
what the FCC says?
Maybe we come up with a.
So say we've cut that out by accident. We probably prohibited that. I was on to another page.
Okay. We got a definition from the FCC of substantial.
Alrighty.
So let's go ahead and. Just read through it at least anyway, so we'll have it on the table. Substantial increase of the size of the tower means the mounting of the proposed antenna on the tower would increase the existing height of the tower by more than 10%, so that's height of tower, or by the height of one additional antenna array with separation from the nearest existing antenna not to exceed 20 feet, which really shouldn't be an issue, whichever is greater. Except that the mounting of the proposed antenna may exceed the size limit set forth in this paragraph if necessary to avoid interference with existing antennas. So they're still giving you an out if you have some confliction.
Is this
the FCC.
That's on the FCC's website.
But again,
that's what the PTIA says in their MO2.
And Paul said that's just one person's interpretation. But
yeah, this is directly from the FCC side.
That's the 47 CFR Part 1, Appendix B. Can you get that
yes.
citation?
Appendix B. Tower is any structure built for the sole or primary purpose of supporting FCC-licensed antennas and their associated facilities. So
that's,
they don't
distinguish. That's drafted law. I mean, that's adopted law?
Yes.
But I would just refer to it.
But the definition?
Yeah.
Is that adopted or is that what Paul was talking about? Paul, was that just what the FCC is saying it means?
Yeah, that's how the FCC defines substantial change. I'm not sure if they're going to line this new federal legislation up with the FCC or line it some other way. What I don't know a lot in adopting legislation and in the code making process, but I think there's a couple different places in the federal code that this language could end up, and where it ends up could is my understanding, could have a big impact on how this mine.
Well, let's...
So, let's could it end up like in the FCC section of the code or in the Telecom Act part of the code? Or, you know, I don't really look forward to that, but my little understanding of the federal code is... could probably impact definition.
So that's not necessarily the definition for the law.
I'm not sure I would agree with that.
Well, because the federal law and the FCC, they're not. It's not an FCC law.
This is the Federal Communications Commission's Title 47.
Yeah, that's communication. FCC. But the law, what right. He's saying.
Yeah, that's the same thing Paul's saying.
So
they make reference to similar terms, but there's no direct reference to the statute. They would have made, or to the ordinance. They would have made it a whole lot easier if they'd said substantial change. And by the way, it means this. That would have clarified it, but they didn't say that.
The trickiness also is, let's say we get.
That's where the lawyers come in.
Let's say we get a new tower coming in. That's, you know, it's totally appropriate. They need a new tower, 200 feet. That's our maximum. It's 200 feet. Then somebody comes into colo, and it can go up another. It has to. We have to say yes to another 10%, and then the next person comes in for the colo because it's a three-person colo, and it goes up yet another 10%. Now we've got a 240-foot tower. I'm just looking at the case. It could be tricky.
We'll put that near your house.
I don't see why we couldn't still reference this. Even if they change it, they're going to change it here. So we'll still have a valid reference point.
But then we're getting ahead of...
Mm-hmm. The definition of a law.
Yeah. I mean, we could do that anyway. Yeah, I suppose we could.
I mean, does it say something different than that somewhere else? Are we getting conflicting information?
That's the only place we've looked.
Yeah.
No, but this is right.
I mean, you can make that choice.
But FCC isn't the lawmaker, so it's still...
Right. Yeah. The FCC is making the regulations, not the law.
We're the lawmaker here, and we can refer to that standard, or we could hold off and say exactly what it says right now, and wait for some clarification on what this new piece of legislation means. Does it adopt it or doesn't it?
I would still personally reference it.
Your call, folks.
Well, that's what I suggest.
I would wait for the law to define it, because we don't know that that's the definition they're going to adopt.
As far as your knowledge as planning people, has anybody thus far asked to increase tower height ever in this county? Probably not. So as a case study thus far, it's, no one's ever asked. It's unlikely. I'm not saying throw it out, but it just is not really an active concern.
Well, it's not yet. But if the towers are loading up, as you say, it may start me. I think I would be sensitive to what Geronimo just raised, which is the possible cumulative impact of any time you say that, well, you can have a X percentage increase in any dimensional standard, and you don't define that you can't do it once, then do it again, then do it again, then do it again.
The law supersedes the tower height restriction.
Can't supersede FCC regulations as far as I know.
No, I'm saying the federal.
Federal law doesn't say anything with height. It just says you have to allow it if there's no reason for it.
But I think if our ordinance made kind of both ways, makes reference to the federal CFR standard that you're talking about, that substantial increase or an increase in height that's not substantial is limited to less than 10 feet.
10%.
And our ordinance says
no.
Once.
Well, let me
ask you can do that. And then what we're not limiting is this extra thing.
Why would you be opposed to that? I thought you would rather have less towers. And if this is in there, then they're increasing the height of the tower instead of going setting up another tower.
You're correct in what I'm in favor. I am in favor of that. But what I'm just saying is that the federal law is not the FCC didn't make that law, so they haven't defined yet what they mean by substantial increase. So I'm just saying, let's not grab onto FCC's definition. Let's wait till the people who made the law, I think James is if he made the law. Let's wait till James decides.
our point is, why don't we use what's here now? This is what is law right now. If they change it, then we change it.
No, it's not law right now. That's a complete different entity. That's the FCC.
It's the best that we've got to go on now because it's the biggest arm of the government that we could reference to.
It is the regulation. That's what the regulation is.
What
if it wasn't a law, it wouldn't be there. That was my question earlier about the building codes, is do we have a definition of substantial? FCC has given us a definition of substantial. I don't see why we don't use that definition. That's my question.
Well, I tend to agree, because that's what's there now. It's the biggest power we've got going. For the sake of mention also, part of the concern is to go again and again and again.
You just don't limit a tower height.
Well, we're not, because the federal law supersedes our tower height.
I don't see the federal law saying you can have the tower height exceeding the height.
Well, that's what we're trying to define substantial height. We're forced to allow some substantial.
We're forced to allow, so if it starts at 200 and you say 10%, then the second co-locator, if we figure three people on one time, can go and make it to 220, and then the next one can make it to 242.
However,
you're missing something here. It says eligible. Our code says it can't go above 200 feet, so therefore it's not eligible.
Not eligible. One thing that I didn't get that it was eligible.
That's what we put in the code. It was the 200-foot high tower was our maximum.
Okay, let me say that. That would be great.
It's eligible. Change the code, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A local height limit in the code here would be trumped by this federal legislation, which would allow an increase in height. Jurisdiction have to allow it. Right. I mean, that's how I would kind of understand it. I mean, all the stuff is up for discussion, but I know that the federal code, federal law, does trump local regulations on a lot of this.
But in the federal law limiting the scope of it, as it the one that was recently passed, it says that you can't deny if it is not more than this definition, or more than the, what do they call it, substantial.
Yeah, so if you are an eligible facility and you're not proposing a substantial change, then yet the jurisdiction, not in this case, must deny or must approve the application.
But if you're going over that, you're subject to the local jurisdiction. If you are a substantial, then you're subject to the law.
Not an eligible facility, or if you are resulting in a substantial change, then yes, the jurisdiction could.
But the only definition of substantial we have is from the FCC.
Well, by the statement, we still need
a definition for substantial by the statement, do we not?
And we're waiting for the feds to give it to us.
No, they already did, 10%.
If you have a stealth facility, let's say you have one of those fake trees or something, all of a sudden you just start tacking more height on the top, would Josephine County be obligated to say, okay, you can attach more height to the top of your fake tree, but the county require that you make it, attach branches to that too, and what would that make the tree look like? And
well, for the sake of reality that we're living in at the moment, like we're proposing what might happen in the future, the bulk of the towers in this county are 150-foot cookie cutter. They're all the same type, leg size, dimensional, foundation and all that. There's no way you're going to be able to go again and again and again. They won't engineer out. They won't. They're not built for that. It cannot happen. It will not engineer out. I can tell you that for absolutely certain.
The foundation won't support it.
I'm not that worried about this, and I think Chaz is completely right. You know, I support Chaz. Excuse me.
Sorry.
I'm completely right that, I'm in favor of the higher COLO one anyway.
Okay.
We went through this with our Cape Junction tower. It was 100 feet tall. We had to go back to the engineer because we wanted to add 20 feet to the tower. We had to go back to the engineer had to approve it, go back to the city, and the city had to approve that, so we were able to add 20 feet to the tower. We could add our tower with the foundation we have, we could go 140 feet is the max we can do with our tower there because of the foundation. We'd have to rip the whole thing out and redo the foundation in order to build to go higher than that.
and we're not willing to do that. So
most of the existings are already 150 built up for one tower and cannot go up on tower. They could not add tower tops to them.
So it comes back to my question is, reading the statement from the feds, we have two words in there that really throw the curve, and it's eligible and substantial.
Yep.
Now, eligible, we can reference predominantly, most of it reference back to the engineering building support, building design.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I thought they meant when they said, see, this is why I think we have to leave to them to define. I thought they meant they're eligible in terms of the FCC, that they have a license to provide self-service. That's what I thought they meant by eligible, not eligible to the little municipality.
Well, they define eligible in the language as co-location, removal of transmission equipment, or replacement of transmission equipment. Those are the eligible facilities.
Oh.
Give the actual statute.
What's your take on using that FCC reference of the wording of substantial?
I would, at this point, I'd probably hold off on that because we just don't know if that's going to be the definition.
Is it currently?
No, well, right now there is no. It's not referencing the FCC right now. It's kind of in a no man's land. I guess it hasn't been placed into the federal code. So that's why it makes it really difficult to enforce or implement this language because it's so new. Right now, nobody knows what the definitions are going to be outside of Washington, D.C. I guess there's some folks over there have an idea. I think it might be a little premature to cite FCC because it might end up with a different definition.
So why don't we just leave it as it is and wait for them to define it, and if we have to do a little modification because they finally defined the law, we will.
Well, I hate to leave it exactly as it is because you're already going against some of the existing things that are out there. There are already some antennas that are a few feet above, and we don't want to squash this few feet concept.
So that one line, that thing that says it can't
exceed the height of the host tower.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's radiation center recovery.
Very good.
So
no,
it's changing that. Is that the new D2 we're talking about? Not exceed
yes.
the.
Yes.
So change that line.
And what would it change to?
What would it change to? Yeah, something about the median?
Radiation center?
The antenna center line does not exceed the height of the tower.
Sure.
That way you can make sure that all the mounting hardware stays down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Antenna center line, you said?
Yeah.
Antenna center line does not exceed.
Okay. But if you have like a 6-foot antenna,
good.
Half of it goes above the top of the tower, so 3 feet. 3 feet is the hang below.
Okay. I think everybody's in consensus here that that's acceptable.
I disagree with it, but it doesn't matter.
Okay, so then half the antenna can go above.
I want what the SEC says. If it's listed on the SEC site, then it is a law. The SEC is part of the federal government. Part of what we have to deal with here is we have to adhere to the Telecommunications Act of 1996. We can't put anything in different than that unless someone's come up with something that I haven't read. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I apologize. But it's on the SEC's site. It's not there just because they wanted to put something there. It's there because that's their definition. And until someone changes the definition, then that should be the definition we go with.
For their laws. It's the definition for their laws.
I'm not sure that the FCC code applies to local cities and counties. I know that it's their own code. It's a little bit outside of my expertise. They might have their code for FCC, regulated facilities. But the wireless towers are also regulated by cities and counties.
But you have a federal definition. And we need a definition for substantial.
Yeah. I understand the efficiency of what Taz is saying. You've got a standard defined out there that it makes sense to go with that. But at the same time, there is a local government ability to change it. So I'm okay with going with the antenna center line now, and we may find that if the interpretation of this law references the FCC standard of 10%, then we change it. We can actually change it by policy internally. We could just write a policy that says we're recognizing the new law, and that's it.
No, typically 6, maybe 8 foot tall. Typically 6.
Should we especially since we've got a workshop coming up, should we have a, just a footnote on that section?
For the future?
Yeah.
That, it might
I think
have to
for
be
the whole ordinance, we can make some reference to, you know, changes in law, and we've got this.
Yeah. It's all pending federal changes that might affect the...
We've already done that in a subsequent review of the ordinance section. I mean, we built it into the ordinance that we're going to revisit once in a while and make changes. And typically the way that works is if we've got a state law that trumps something that's in the RLDC, we write a memo or some acknowledgement of that. We make changes in our practices, and then we note that for a future code update, and then we change the code to apply. So that's not a big deal.
So, all right.
This is a minor issue. As far as I'm concerned,
right? Yeah, we just need to... My concern is somebody's going to come back at us with the, well, you're saying substantial, and I'm saying it's not substantial, so you need to improve it.
Yeah.
Right.
Jeez, James.
So without a record.
Well, even when that happens,
Next, assuming we relabel pages 5, B, and E, and page 7, F.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Make sure we get those.
I've got a bunch of those little things, too.
Okay. James,
this new alphabet.
This is great, though. This is,
I'm going to talk about the next set. Everyone should have a copy of a memo about rooftop and facade mounted antennas. As David mentioned, me and him read through the ordinance, and we felt the ordinance is a little weak on this topic, and we want to provide the ability of a tower company to place antennas on towers, so we thought we need to at least bring it to the committee and see if you guys would like to make a special section on it or something to that effect.
What do you need in addition to what we already have here? What it would look like? That most of the grants pass stuff was about what it would look like, which makes sense. But in terms of where it can be placed, it seems like it's covered in new antennas or co-located antennas.
Well, I thought the ordinance was mostly talks about towers in general. It doesn't really specifically talk about what if Rendata wants to stick a tower on top of their wigwam out there? You know,
I think it talks about antennas more than towers necessarily. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know.
So that's, you're not going to have a tower if you're putting it on a building.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I think the ordinance talks about antennas, where antennas can be, because that's why we changed towers to support structures.
Right. 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 But we don't have anything on this. If you read the city ordinance, it's all dealing with...
we'll share with what you think is weak.
Yeah, or what you would want. What you would want.
Yeah,
maybe start from there.
Work on this.
I think we're adding language in the, what kind of review type. Right now we're talking about co-location, minor modification, and temporary wireless. So would a building not be a ministerial or not? The next thing is siting priorities. We have co-location on an existing cellular, with installation of a new cellular PCS support structure on a site where it already exists. A new site, again, we're talking about a new tower, somewhere in
there. No, a new site. Like, for example, if you've got a building and there's already an antenna there, and you want to put another one, then it's a co-location.
Right.
If there's got a building and there's no antenna there, and you want to put an antenna there, that's a new site.
Correct.
No.
But if you want to put... So you're saying, in your opinion, a building mount would be the same as a new cell tower.
Absolutely. It's a new antenna. New cell.
If there's not existing service currently at location.
Right. Okay. Well, I throw it out for the rest of the subcommittee, whether they think that building mounts are functionally different enough that we ought to treat them as a separate animal, and if so, where should they land in the siting priorities? And like I said, we just raised the issue because we look back through the notes and building mount, the whole building mount of antenna idea, we just kind of skipped right over it and moved on. And I don't recall much discussion from that.
I think it should just be in addition to what we already have in referencing building mount. But I would agree with Siobhan if there's if it's a building in the middle of nowhere and they want to add a tower, to me that's still a new site.
You mean an antenna?
A new antenna, yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether or not existing broadcast.
Okay. Right. And if that's the case, then does the word site get us there?
Well, support structure. Structure gets us there. Because mm-hmm. there's going to have to be a support structure on the building. It has to be something. The building is the support structure or what sits on the building.
Yeah, well, in some cases, it can be mounted quite often on the side. Mm-hmm. And I know there's going to be some kind of support structure, but it wouldn't be in a vertical increase of the building in many cases.
Right.
But you're still talking about putting it on the support structure.
Yeah.
Paul, were you making reference to 3, 4, and 5 there under 99050B? Now, if we use the word site, and this was language that Sharana gave me that I pretty much adopted, I think, word for word, but we're not identifying what a site is. So if we say new
wireless
support structure, PCS support structure antenna.
No, it's the site for that. A new location. Location. Maybe the word location.
Do you want this to include both new towers or rooftop antennas?
Yes, for me.
Well, do we, under our definition,
a new wireless facility / PCS.
We have that under our definition.
PCS facility. Maybe?
Yeah, we have facility defined under 99030. So if we just... Under the 050B siting priorities, we just say a new facility in industrial commercial zone, a new facility in a forest zone, a new facility in a farm residential. I think we're there.
I would love that to be there, but it's a confusing with number two, installation of a new support structure on a site where it already exists.
That's not a new facility.
So how we define facility? If we change site to facility.
Anything that's got an antenna hanging off of it.
So that would work. An unstaffed facility for the tenant. But the point is really not that it's a new facility, it's that it's a new whole new site for facilities.
Huh?
It's that it's a whole new location. So if you have a facility and you put another facility next to it because it falls on number two. The first tower can't accommodate more, but you can accommodate another tower. That's not a new site. It is a new facility, but it's not a new site. So they don't actually mean the same thing.
The way I understand number two is, but you can't co-locate, see what is number two, installation of a new cellular PCS support structure. I understand that as a tower. On a site, which means a property mm-hmm. where a cellular PCS support structure exists, or where a tower already exists.
Right.
The way I look at it is number two, you can build a tower, install a new wireless tower on the same property that already has a tower. So if for whatever reason you can't co-locate on that tower for structural reasons or whatever, you can build a tower next or on the same property at least.
Exactly.
Right. The next one would be a new site in an industrial commercial zone. You know, I'm okay with the word site being in there not being defined. I don't know that it is elsewhere on the code necessarily. Jim, do you recall?
I don't recall.
We know what that means from an implementation standpoint, but mm-hmm. from the building mount, does this cover it? Do we need to go back to definitions? Do we need to plunk something else into what kind of review type this is?
See, I think it's covered. Because it varies. If there's already another antenna on that building, then a new building mount is a colo. If there's not already an antenna on that building, then that new building mount is a new site.
Yeah. But does the county want to encourage rooftop antennas rather than new towers? If so, then maybe you want to break out a category four on this priorities list. Line in, you know, structure mounted, like let's say, like a rooftop or a water tank and antennas.
Well, that would really, if anything, that would go under a commercial industrial area.
I mean, you've got siting priorities. Then it's exactly where it ought to go.
But that would help spell out what the county's kind of looking for as far as new wireless.
Right.
Do they prefer you to attach your antennas to existing buildings or proposing a new tower? Or does it just not matter if you can't co-locate, you can't put a tower on a property that already has a tower, you can basically build a tower, or your choice, you can build a tower or you can antennas on a building.
It would almost come under, it would be almost a 3A and B, that under a new site in industrial commercial zone, an attached to a building would be preferred, and a separate
tower.
Yeah.
And then on down the list, forest would be a building and then a tower.
Well, you're not going to get a building in a forest.
Yeah, no, not much in the forest.
I think the only place where the building really makes sense and applies is an industrial commercial.
Yeah, I mean, you don't put these on homes or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Although, some cities and counties, they do allow you to rooftop antennas on residential structures, say, like a high rise. I mean, you'll get many high rises in the counties, but apartment buildings.
We're open for one, and we need the revenue. But we could see a new site in a farm zone on a tall barn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Water towers.
So it would almost be a separate thing, given this priority list. Once you have given this priority list, then a building one would be preferred to a new.
Mm-hmm. So I would like building mounted referenced in here because, frankly, it's not right now. So from an implementation standpoint, if somebody comes in and says, what's my easier process? Do I put up a new tower, or a building mount, or a co-locate? I haven't found any co-location places, but I've got a guy with a water tower that's 80 feet high that I'm talking to.
We need to reference it.
You might not want to call it a building mount per se, maybe like a structure mounted, like a non, somehow define it so it's a non-wireless
structure mount.
If I call it a building mount, Paul, I'm going to know what it means to implement the ordinance, so I'm okay with it.
That feels fine to me as long as everything else applies. Other priorities.
Well, it's not going to remove anything from applying. It's just going to give us an option.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
So when there's an option between this or that one is preferred.
Yeah, so we'll add a line in there. I don't care what number you make, but 1 through 6, pick a number. It doesn't make a bit of difference.
Well, it's almost a separate. It's almost like these are 1A through ABCDE, and then 2 is when it could be a building mount or a standing tower. The building mount is preferred. But these come first.
I'm okay with that. I don't care.
As long as
they give me the option.
So this is 1, A, B, C, D, E, A through E, and then 2 is when you have the alternatives of a building mount versus a freestanding.
Okay. 9905 OB.
Yeah. So okay. 1 through 5 becomes at 1, A through B. A through A, B, C, D, E. A through A, B, C, D, E. A through E.
She's the three number.
So this would be number 1, and 1 would be A, 2 would be B, 3 would be C, 4 would be D, and 5 would be E. And then number 2 would say that where possible, building mounts preferable to new freestanding support structure.
You got that, James?
I'm not sure I need to do it that way, but
I'd probably just add it under number 2. I'd throw in a building mounted antennas in the industrial commercial zone.
Oh, that's okay for me too.
Number 3 through 5 as 4 through 6. Slide it between.
Yep, that's what I was originally.
So make it part of the industrial commercial zone thing.
So you're not going to have multi residential. No, we are.
We got it.
You might want to keep it open in the farm zone if you have, I'm not sure what sort of structures there are in the farm zone that could support it, but if you have, a grain elevator or something like that, those are kind of fits in the farm zone.
Tall barn.
So, in other words, the number 3.
We can just include them in all those zones. So they're the option, either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So within that zone, then a building mount is preferable.
Including building mount. Right.
Well, I thought you were saying within the zone, like let's say a new site, industrial commercial zone, building mount is preferable to new.
One is co-location. Two is installation of a new one on an existing site. Mm-hmm. Three is add building mount in industrial commercial zone. Four.
Freestanding industrial commercial zone. That's four. That's still preferable. The zone is more is preempts
right.
the.
And four is a freestanding or a new site in industrial.
Right.
Commercial zone.
And then five is new building mountain forest zone, although they don't exist. Probably six is freestanding and forest zone.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what are we? We're back to.
Well. Back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but the second, with each one, after it says what it says, then basically it says building mount.
I can number these the way that it'll work. I know where we're at.
Okay.
Building mount is preferable to freestanding.
That works. So we're just going to add building mount to all of them.
Preferable to freestanding.
So let's move on, and I think we can all cut that.
Yes.
Does that mean that we need to take a look at the Grant Pass building stuff, or are we opening up a new category that would need to be looked at, or do we need to address the building mount?
Well, the question would be, do we want to use the existing ordinance from the city, or do you want to modify it? Because the city references them... Really, facade mounted antennas.
What's their current process in the city?
The requirements look the same as what we already have, so I'm not specifically looking for the requirements.
My question is in review types, ministerial versus quasi judicial. Where's it going? Building mount. I heard one vote already, I think, for quasi-judicial, same as the new site.
Oh.
That's what I heard right here.
That's, I think, that's what Siobhan said, right?
Yeah.
You're treating a building mount as if it were a new tower.
No, it depends. If the building mount is on a site where there already is a tower, then it's a colo. I don't think it has to be separate from what we're saying with the whole thing. If the building mount brings a PCS cellular antenna to a site that there already is a PCS antenna, then it's a colo and it's the ministerial. If a building mount brings it to a building that has none of those, then it's a new.
Okay.
So I don't see why it has to be discussed separately.
Because in review types, we don't have building mount in here. So if we're going to refer in our priorities to building mount, we need to have it in a review type.
Well, that's just how it's mounted. You're already talking about whether it's a new or a new site or not.
You don't have a definition even in the ordinance at the moment.
Right.
For?
The building mount.
We'd have to put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, building mount has to be defined.
So that would be U under T.
It'll probably be the new C. They're off the call in the definitions. I do that just to confuse you.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm successful.
Yeah, very.
So my question goes back to what I asked a minute ago, is the 16.372 for the city code is the facade and rooftop mounted development standards. Do we need to have separate rooftop mounted development standards, or do we just incorporate?
Oh, please don't. I think they. I think our existing co-location standard would probably get us there. It talks about screening. It talks about a reflective surface. I mean, it's all the kind of things we want.
I just wanted to ask the question while we were here.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We need to add a building mount in our definition.
But in our definition, I think we can make the reference to the co-location standard in terms of screening.
Yeah.
Well, not just the colo standard, but the other standard too, because it might be a new, antenna. The building mount might be a new. Our development standards. Refer our development standards, not just the COLO standards.
Doesn't the COLO have to meet the general development standards?
Yes. Okay.
I mean, we can add both. To me, you're getting to the same place. But
I just don't want to imply that a building mount is automatically a COLO.
Yeah, because it could be either one. Cool. Progress moving on. James, anything else?
That's all I had.
Thanks.
Thank goodness, huh?
I have seen some strong people do. I think it's a great law. I want to say that I just really, the work that went into this is impressive, I think. And I have a few things I don't think they're terribly substantial.
Okay, are they just not in the teeth and crossing your eyes, or do you have something specific?
Some of them are a little more. You want me to go a little more first?
Yeah.
Dot and T's and cross and I's, if it's a semicolon or something like that, just give it to me. I don't want to take that.
No, that's why I just asked if you wanted to the substantial stuff.
So let me see which is the most important. Well, I handed out three things. It's three things.
Start with the November meeting. I'll take a page for you.
Okay. November meeting. That's page 14. It's the justification of need and location section. A lot of that concerned me, and I couldn't figure out how we got there, so I went back to where we were at the November meeting when David handed out this thing. And that's where I thought we were, and there are enough kind of changes between the two of them that I was concerned.
Page of new ordinance? On the latest draft?
But page 14. In the latest 14. Draft.
14.
Page 14.
That's better.
Page 14 in the new draft. Number 2, justification of need and location. And then what she handed out was where we were at the November meeting. And it almost seems like somehow that didn't catch up. And I can go through the details. I don't know if I should bother of what I see as the difference.
Close or fill?
That one doesn't really matter to me.
Lawrence, just tell us what does matter to you.
Okay. The proposed escort structure is necessary to fill a documented significant gap in service. I like that. It's not, I don't, you know. This language says not currently covered for that provider, and I can give you my legal reasons of why that should not be in there.
I don't know what line you're referring to.
Yeah, what's not supposed to be in there? So what are you talking about?
On page 14, in the draft you were just handed, number 2A, the second line, has these words, not currently covered for that provider. And that was not in the last one, and I don't think it should be in, and I can give you my justifications if you want. It wasn't in.
So you want to just have it stop it, not fill a gap?
I want to go back to where to this, and maybe go from this.
She wants to say if AT&T covers it there and U.S. Cellular don't, then U.S. Cellular is screwed.
No, I don't want to say that. I want to leave it up to the courts, and right now it's absolutely. This is what the courts are defining it right now, but we don't put this in our law because this has gone back and forth with the courts. If the courts change their mind, we don't want this in our law.
What you're telling us is that instead of putting something in here that's going to help everybody, you're going to tell them, hey, if you want something different, take a court. You want to go to legislation instead of being able to just handle it with what we have. Am I wrong?
I think you meant litigation, right?
Hmm?
Yeah. Excuse me.
That's wrong. I think the reason that's in it, I wrote it, so I'll defend it. I know we had that in there originally, and I don't know where the deletion came from, but if it's necessary to fill a gap in service not currently covered for that provider, does U.S. Cellular know where the gaps in service are for AT&T? Does AT&T
probably
know
not
where the gaps in service are for Verizon?
Probably not.
So, in saying that, why wouldn't we refer to that provider because they're the one making the application? That's my logic behind it.
Okay, I understand that. When the TCA law, I'll have to go slowly because I'm not. When the TCA law was first written, The courts initially interpreted it that the purpose was to have cell phone service everywhere. Not that every company be everywhere, but just that everybody in the public have cell phone service. Okay. And they initially said so that initially the interpretation was, well, if AT&T is here and U.S. Cellular isn't, what the TCA has said is it's covered with service. People can, if they live there, they can switch to, you know, whatever. Then a bunch of years later, the courts changed their mind, and they decided, no, the TCA protects every separate company, that every separate company has to be in every separate place. There's now a movement going on that that's being reconsidered. So who knows where it's going to go? So for us to put an interpretation into our ordinance is premature. I mean, is locking in something that's not locked in with the law.
Well, what I'm concerned about is that I'm asking somebody to demonstrate a gap in service not only with themselves but with anyone else.
You can't do that.
No, for now they now this is true, but it doesn't have to be said. For now, this is the way that law is defined, that right now a gap in service means for that company.
So I don't see what the issue is, not currently covered by that provider is.
Because if the interpretation of the law changes,
I don't know that it's going to change anything if we strike it, frankly. Okay. In our implementation of this ordinance, I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Okay.
But I'm not going to make AT&T provide me a gap of U.S. Cellular what their coverage is, because they don't have that information, and it's competing companies. You're not. There's going to be.
Why would they?
No, they only have to show their own gap. Right now, they only have to show their own gap.
Mm-hmm. So course, I see no reason to change that.
I don't care. I don't think it makes a difference one way or the other, frankly.
Well,
I know that I'm not going to call AT&T and tell them to define U.S. Cellular's gap in service.
It ain't going
to
happen
because they can't do it.
No.
But that we're
that's not.
That's
something we've got to record.
That's trademark.
We're not asking them.
Not trademark. That's a
proprietary. If you will.
Okay.
Or for sake of.
What else, Shivana?
This already is a refers back to this version, because when in A it refers the study per 2C, it's not the 2C that you have here. It's the old 2C that was there. You kind of follow my drift?
No, we're all pretty lost.
I think they no, you're not with me?
You're basically saying 2C has moved.
2C has become something different from what it used to be, and 2B refers to it. No, 2A refers to it in the last, the last three lines of 2A. Coverage from existing support structures on other sites have been studied per 2C. Well, not the 2C that appears under it, the 2C from the last version requires the study.
So it's just a whole lover of language.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great holdover of language. I don't know what happened to the C and the D from the previous. I'm uncomfortable with the change that happened from where your last version at the November meeting that we were happy with. So much of what you've done, I'm so happy with.
Okay, anything else on that page while Dave's looking there?
Just what I was looking at is going back to this, where we were.
You've got a note to put back in the less sensitive sites, alternative designs, and alternative support structures.
That piece went back in. And also the C that's currently on this page, we had eliminated because it's now covered in the priorities section.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. So the C that's here, that's referenced by 2C below,
right,
is now in a different section.
No. The C that's there,
on your
the
final
C
draft.
That's on your final draft, that's over there, is the one that shouldn't be there. That C is no longer any. We had mixed. We had deleted that one.
And this C should be.
That C and D should be there, and then.
And this C should be gone. Did we all
This C should be gone because we've now put in the priority section, so it's no longer necessary here.
So this C and D should be in here.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so strike page 14, 2C.
So what everybody agreed on?
James?
Anne, do you have minutes from that?
No, the minutes for these are not...
But this is what David handed out. So it's right here.
But we've added it, so it's duplication at this point.
And, well, I give it out, but this is a copy of what David handed to us at the November meeting. It was already out.
I think somehow the last upgrades on this page didn't make it to you or something.
Okay. I'll show you the stack of stuff I was looking at when I wrote this, if you're interested.
Okay, so we're in agreement then. Page 14, 2C, strike. And then we need to remove the study per 2C?
No, the study per 2C...
has to be re-referenced or moved.
Here it is. Here's the C, the 2C and D that were still in there when that
two,
was referenced.
A and
so
D.
She wants to dump this C and add this C back in.
Right.
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 This C and D.
Right.
And then what do we do with this?
What?
This right here.
That C.
Well, that's good.
Because it refers to this.
We got to make sure that...
Okay.
Okay. On her notes on the November meeting... Steve, how does 2C look to you?
I don't have a problem with it.
And in the county identifies and evaluates less intrusive alternatives. Do they not do that already?
Not necessarily.
Well, how can they, the use of other appropriate technology?
Or you can't rule. That's a bad time.
She's probably getting back to frequency reuse again, because that's how that was referenced in the past. Other technologies was seen as, you know, a lower frequency coverage.
Carrier pigeons.
Well,
but then you can't tell them what equipment to use.
They're telling us why.
Right. We're not trying to tell them. That's why they won't apply. They're licensed for what they're licensed. This network is where it is. Based on what they can do, then they do it.
Why does it need to be there?
Strike the use of other appropriate
But other technology is constantly being developed, so this carries into the future that they, you know, at least consider and show us that they've considered whatever other appropriate technology. They can say, sorry, there's no other appropriate technology.
Let me say one thing. Why do you think this other technology comes out? These companies are developing this technology because they want to use this technology. They're not doing it because they want to spend billions and millions of dollars. They're doing it because they want to use something that's going to work more efficient than what they're using now.
True.
It doesn't make sense to say use other appropriate technologies. They're not going to come out here and put in $1 million cell site
and
use 20-year-old technology.
Okay, let's strike that. Let's strike that then.
Sure. Strike the use of the on the November meeting. C. Strike the use of other appropriate technology.
I mean, I wish I had stuff that hasn't come out yet.
That's really good for cutting edge, wouldn't it?
How does he apply that?
Hey, we could argue
that based upon the study required.
Join
the
line.
But
I don't work on it anymore.
Not at all. James, give us your opinion on 2D now.
Now that we took out that line.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that line changes anything, but...
No. Mm-hmm.
You lost me. What have you taken out? Alternative design systems?
Use of other appropriate technology.
Or GLTE program?
What about it?
We're looking at using C and D from here instead of from over there.
If there's an area where you don't have equipment there, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, obviously so.
I sent them in on your request.
There's
another piece. There's a piece in A too.
I
don't
know. I can't see any issue
with it.
And then in 2A,
C,
with less intrusive being in there.
Okay.
Well,
now,
that's enforceable.
That's the wording that they constantly use in the.
In the what?
All the planning department in all the court cases and all the planning departments, the issue is what's the least intrusive site. That comes up everywhere. And it is.
Just to play devil's advocate, if it's not a law, why should we put it in here?
If it's not a law, because the court will apply that standard.
If you live on the East Coast, West Coast, or
the court will apply that standard.
It's interesting that the law doesn't apply when it's something that you know someone else wants. When you want, it's either or. It's you're going to abide by a standard or you're not going to abide by a standard. You're going back and forth with whether or not you want to use a standard or not use a standard. You know, can we come to an agreement instead of going back and forth because it suits a certain purpose? I mean, it's. I understand, you know, your issues with these towers and stuff, and a lot of it has gotten in, but to cite this saying this because this is a law or because this is the norm, and then say, well, we can't go with this one because it's not the law or it's not the norm.
The FCC. Which
way are we going to go?
Well, I guess what I wasn't clear enough in trying to describe before is that many organizations can define what they mean by substantive difference, or whatever the word was, substantial difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what the law that was just written, but the FCC is not the people, they're just defining that for their own codes. We can define that too. So it was kind of a little bit apples and oranges there, at least in my view.
Well, a lot of what we're citing goes back to the CCA, which is from the FCC. So if we're using part of if we're using the FCC for the CCA, mm-hmm. why aren't we using the FCC for anything else?
Well, this is, the courts have interpreted what the TCA means. That's where the interpretation of what the TCA means comes down the pike, and that's where the term least intrusive. But I mean, if you know, what would you like if you would?
At this point, I really don't care.
And back to James, I asked you for an opinion or what Dave was reading.
On D, I don't see any issues with D. Basically, after they do the study and C, they're going to come to the conclusion of D. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's basically all it says.
I want to make sure we just got the strike on C on the use of other appropriate technology.
Yeah. Took me a little while to catch up there. I was pulling up my old language here. And I wanted to make sure that in that previous paragraph C that it sounds like we're talking about, I had made a suggestion, I'm not sure if it made it in, but the opening line says a comprehensive study of coverage submitted to the county identifies. And I had proposed to strike out coverage and just say that a comprehensive study of the proposed wireless service. So just replace coverage with the proposed wireless service. That way we can include both coverage and capacity.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
That's agreeable. Mm-hmm. Wireless service.
So there's one other item in this justification in need, and I'll wait for Steve. So in 2A, we had agreed at the November meeting to strike the or do not meet the criteria of the RDLDC because many COLOs will not meet the current criteria, but we're saying if it's a COLO, it's okay. And so we had decided to strike that, but that's not represented in the draft you wrote.
So it's not struck out.
Yeah, I remember keeping that in for a reason. I do remember noting that, but keeping it in. I don't think why.
Code.
Rolling.
Because it's gonna knock out COLOs.
How's that?
Because COLOs do not meet the criteria of the RLDC. This is a justification for a new site.
Huh?
And it's going to knock out COLO on a site that doesn't currently meet our standards, but it's already there. But they already have a tower that's 20 feet from...
This code will be a part of the RLDC. So how could you say... What I'm saying is if it's not technologically feasible and doesn't meet the criteria of this code,
doesn't meet the criteria of this code.
This is going to be a portion of the
Okay, so I'm saying the opposite. Let's say you have an existing tower and it's 20 feet from whatever. Some, you know, we want it more feet. It's 20 feet. They're saying that since putting another antenna doesn't meet this code because now it's too close, it knocks out the colo. It's a justification for a new site.
Why can't we just put it except for grandfather structures?
Well, we already have no...
Except for colos. Except for co-locations.
Well, we have no form of use provision in the code already.
This is saying that, you know, we're justifying a new site because the colo site doesn't meet the code. And we know that there are colo sites that came around before the code and they don't meet the code, but that's okay. We can still colo on it.
Which is good. Better than a new tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this all under page 14 done?
There's a couple. No.
Right,
not that. And I've got some other things.
I got a couple things, too.
I'm okay with striking it, but frankly, leaving it in doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
This is a portion of the RLDC, so any provision that allows co-location is part of the RLDC, therefore it's...
Well, what she's saying is if it's a tower that was put in before this law went into effect, then... Based on this law, they wouldn't be allowed to co-locate because that tower wouldn't fall under these rules. So I guess they would just add in except for grandfathered structures, and then they could co-locate on that one with this code.
I like that.
Well, the concept.
Well, I thought we covered it in 99110.
What page?
16. The subject of the division of Article 13.9 foreign uses and structures except that new antenna may be permitted to co-locate an existing support structures already hosting subject ministry review.
He's there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there.
We don't need grandfather in existence.
And I'm okay with cutting out as rid of the RLDC.
Okay.
If you want.
As long as it's in 990.
As long as it's
110, we're fine.
Let me just read it one more time. The other thing you could glance at while I'm reading that is the an or was changed to and. Again, it's here, and it wasn't changed on this one. I don't know if it made a difference, but it makes a little bit of a difference. B, the second to last sentence.
I'm
not going to get into words.
Well, it's a different meaning for an and.
But that's something that Dave can look over on a separate time.
Okay.
Let's move forward in the meeting.
Another thing that we discussed in depth that we didn't conclude about is still on page 14 going up to F. This thing about, I'm concerned about, we're saying that this is a reason why they cannot colo and get the new tower requirements for colo. That the fees or costs required to share an existing tower structure or to adapt an existing tower structure for colocation are unreasonable. And we have no definition of unreasonable. And I'm also concerned about, you know, somebody who already has a tower. If somebody wants a new tower, they can make sure that the fees to co-locate are unreasonable, or call them unreasonable. We don't even know where I am. I'm going through this whole thing. We don't even know where I am.
Page 14. Page. We're here in the wording.
Right here.
Page 14F.
What? We're still on 14. We're on F.
14.
Okay. Page 14. Where's your backup?
I want it gone. That's what happened. That's what we discussed last time. And you said that you were going to talk with somebody in the county, some organization, to see what they think are unreasonable or something like that. For me, it's a loophole that could get out of co-location.
Yeah, but how are you going to tell someone what they can and can't charge for something they own? Okay.
Charging them.
If I own a tower, and AT&T wants to come co-locate with me, and I say, well, I want $4,000 a month, and they say, well, no, I'm just going to put my own tower in. Okay, fine, go put your own tower in.
But as a county, we're saying...
You're telling me that I can't charge them that. You're telling me that, well, that's...
No, I'm telling them they have to pay it. But then you might want their tower. And then, you know, so they're not going to, you know...
She wants to strike that.
I want to strike that.
I don't see any issue with it.
What I'm saying is we as a county want people to co-locate rather than new towers. For multi-billion dollar corporations, it's not our concern if they have to pay a bit more to each other to get on their
tower. But you
are going to
hit the roof if your cell phone bill doubles.
But you're, I guess, your question...
They do that to each other.
Yes,
it goes in all directions. What were you going
to say? I guess your question was... Are you question? Well, I realize you want to strike, but your question, what's reasonable or not? I mean, you guys are... Is that to be defined?
Well,
that's when...
Did this ring a bell, James and David? You were going to go and talk to somebody... about costs or something.
You know, you're trying to define the term fair market value, I guess.
Well, this is Paul. I had proposed this language originally, but I proposed one additional sentence just in this final draft here. I got this from another county, but they have, you know, but they define, or one of the criteria to eliminate co-location, for example, is the cost associated with it. In a sentence that got chopped off of this was, costs below new tower development are presumed unreasonable. But there is a definition of unreasonable.
You know, you put it below.
So
you know, I didn't figure that out. I remember that comment, Paul, and it didn't make any sense to me because if the costs are under that of a new tower, why is that unreasonable?
Maybe it needs to be above. Maybe I put that on it.
That was the part that threw me.
Basically, the intent of what I was getting at there, and I just got this from another county, so when they put it together, was basically if it's more expensive, if it costs more to co-locate on another tower than it is to build a new tower, that qualifies as unreasonable.
And I say that's not our concern. Our concern is where the towers are in our county.
Right.
And I can't believe it would be true. I can't believe it would be true because, you know, you co-locate on their tower this month and they're going to want to co-locate on your tower next month.
Yeah, and so the county, it has a structural element to it, too. So it was kind of regarding if the tower could not, for example, structurally support the additional antennas, then are you still obligated to co-locate on that tower if it can't structurally support your antennas?
No, I don't think we've been.
No, you don't. Yeah, exactly.
No.
So,
no.
But how do you get that into the code? That was their way of getting it into
okay.
the code was basically.
So we have that in the code since we already have that in the code. So since this came from you, are you willing to drop it?
Where in the code is it? It is a long code. I can't keep up with all the sections here.
That if the tower can't accommodate colo, then you don't have to colo.
Under
here. Where is it? Is it?
Page 14.
Page 14, C.
Right where the section
here
at.
Right where we are.
Right, C. The proposed expected would exceed the
threshold.
In the surgery.
Now, I wanted to change those words to from which the gap in service could be filled. The proposed agreement would exceed the structural spatial capacity of existing facility support structures from which the gap in service could be filled, and the existing structures cannot be reinforced, etc.
I guess I want to ask a more basic question, and I don't want to wordsmith anymore because this is difficult to do in a committee, but
yeah, we don't want
decent cost as a criteria. Do we want it in or out?
I want it in. Criteria ought to be in.
Long sigh from Steve.
Mm-hmm. Vivian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree, yeah.
In light of the other criteria, is it necessary?
Yes. Long term, it is. Consumer, for the consumer, long term, yes, it is a big factor.
Do you want to leave the word unreasonable in there?
Definitely do.
That's not defined, but that has to be defined.
Yeah, we can.
Well,
that's wordsmithing later, so I'm not worried about wordsmithing. So you've got a majority that wants it in, has a basis for it in, and Paul recommends it has it in, but with the caveat that. Exceeding the cost of a replacement tower, which I don't have a reason with.
So if it costs the company more money than co-locating,
No.
It's going to cost the company more money to co-locate
than
it does to build a new tower. We're fine. They don't have to co-locate. Their financial well-being is that important to us.
I just wanted myself to ask those
other questions. Vivian just raised a question, I think, kind of quietly, but I want to address it. Unreasonable. How do we define unreasonable? This is criteria. And remember, we talked about objective standards and subjective criteria. And Ron, you know, as a planning commission chair in the past, I mean, you have to come up with these determinations all the time as to what's unreasonable.
So maybe they have to submit to you a cost comparison.
Yeah. I would ask them that. I mean, if they said, you know, it just costs too much to co-locate on that tower, show me how. I want to see.
Yeah.
Does this pass the smell test? I mean,
and you can send that to the independent. You know, and you can send that to the independent consultant if you want to.
Good.
I don't think you would use it on the off. I think that'd be an extreme case where they'd even use it.
I think unreasonably would be exceeding the cost of a new tower.
Well, in a way, from the financial aspect of it, the reason I sit here a little bit silent, it's two different worlds. To build a new tower, you have to do $506,000. Now, if you're talking about colo, you've got very low initial cost, but you're paying rent forever. So where does it ultimately amortize out or justify? I mean, I'm having a hard time even understanding the relationship.
So it may never be reasonable to COLA.
It is a possibility.
Financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, if he has them bring in and says, okay, this is one way, this is another, I mean, you're going to know if it's going to be smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, you've got to convince them.
But anybody, if they project it over 20 years, it's going to be more expensive to COLA than it is to build a new tower.
Where would they put it?
Certainly because you have to pay the underlying property owner.
That's right.
That's right. That goes yearly
rent. That's rent you're paying long-term.
No, I see what you mean. You have to pay the landowner.
You don't own the money with the towers.
You're paying it either way.
Uh-huh.
Real quick, by the way, Paul, how many wireless companies are out there purchasing new properties?
None that I know of.
Are they just leasing?
They're just leasing. I hope they run across maybe one or two towers where the wireless company owns the property. I've worked on hundreds and hundreds of cars.
Yeah, it's always a lease.
They're not in the real estate business. They don't
want to
get in.
They don't want to be. Exactly.
Okay.
That's where I come in.
Okay.
So we have a majority, so we'll leave F in. It has a long-term benefit down the road. Okay, Vivian had a couple things that she wanted to go over real quick, if she'd jump on them.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll just submit a few wordsmithing things to you.
Yeah, if it's substantial, they will let us know.
Bring it back.
But we're not going to sit here.
It's not that much. It's not that much.
Okay, I don't think this is worth it. I think it's whether it should be in there or should not be in there. This thing, it says there's a shot clock that says that state and local governments have 90 days to act on an application to co-locate wireless facilities on existing structures. I didn't see it anywhere in the draft. Is it in here, or am I just missing it?
Mm-hmm. It's not in the draft.
The federal shot clock that you're talking about, the FCC shot clock?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So should we put it in here?
I don't know if you want to put it in. It's up to you guys.
You said doesn't need it, so.
It applies either way, because it's a federal code, and...
It's a federal code and an FCC?
Yes, from the FCC. They require, I think it's 90. Jurisdiction has 90 days to approve a co-location,
mm-hmm.
or 120 days to approve a new tower.
Mm-hmm.
The only substantial change for us, Paul, is in Oregon, we have a 150-day approval time frame for land use decisions. We usually beat that by a month anyway.
The local Oregon shot clock.
Right. What happens to be the same as an urban area in Oregon, because that is 120 days.
Yeah, I know, like the city of Portland has a problem with that FCC shot clock. They don't like it. Because it doesn't meet up with their noticing requirements for their conditional uses, which go to a hearings officer.
They're
like their notification periods and all that stuff, and it doesn't quite line up. And so
that's kind of surprising to hear that, because the city of Portland would be a jurisdiction that's subject to the 120-day rule in Oregon State land use law.
Yeah, I know. You know,
why would they object?
Yeah, in touch with their attorney, and it's been a little while since I've done any work in the city, but I know that they wanted me to sign a waiver. And whether that waiver even is any good, who knows?
Well, waivers are pretty commonplace in urban areas, especially if you have to go to a planning commission for a decision.
State shot clock, isn't it?
What's that?
Well, a waiver to the state shot clock.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I've done those before, and that's pretty common, but I'm not sure if the waiver to the FCC would stand up in court.
I don't
really want to defend it or fight it. I mean, it's just unfair. I don't think we need to put it in the code, because you can cite it if you want, but...
I'd like to cite it in there just for the people who are doing their applications, so they know that... You know, the city's got to get on it, or the county's got to get on it, and have 90 days to do it in. I mean, what do you guys think? You're in the business.
They're aware of the shot clock. They don't need to be reminded.
Anyone can have they know.
And the shot clock, it's not like the state shot clock, where when a shot clock runs out, you have to issue an approval. The FCC shot clock, is, if you exceed that time, I think it could just be submitted as evidence. If you wanted to sue the jurisdiction, for example, it could be just evidence that jurisdiction wasn't acting.
Yeah, there's no mandamus action. Our mandamus statute doesn't kick in until 150 days.
Okay.
I did have a section in the draft ordinance which I did want to touch on before we...
Okay, hold on, Paul.
Right.
Vivian was in the middle of hers. Let me have her finish.
Just have one more thing. And that I don't see in here any place that says there's an appeal process for if somebody doesn't get something done and they want to appeal something within this entire, 17-page document. Can we add a 99.160 and just describe to them the appeal process or refer to the general planning code section for appeal process?
Not necessary.
It's not necessary, but can we do it?
Well.
Why not?
Because it's not necessary.
Because anybody who's big enough to concern themselves with this already knows all that kind of stuff anyway. We're talking about settlement carriers nationwide.
That's
my answer.
The appeal section is a standalone section of the RLDC.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure people knew.
The small guy would make sense.
I'm all for not putting anything in here that's not necessary.
Okay, Paul?
Paul, go ahead.
Okay, so you just wanted to take a look at with this 99.090A1A.
Which section?
Oh, what page? Do you have a page from?
This is page 13. And it talks about, we're under requirements for co-location. Subparagraph A talks about application must be prepared and certified by an expert in the field of telecommunication facilities and tenant support structures. It goes on. And I'm not sure what that means, but then how is the county going to enforce that? I've never run across a paragraph like that before. That there is no real certification or a telecommunication expert.
Well, certified, I think, came from some previous language. I'm okay with eliminating that because we don't have a certification process. That's a good point, Paul. But I think prepared by an expert in the field would stand.
Okay.
You're correct.
I'm reading this, and I put together land use applications for wireless facilities with my job, and when I come across this, and I put my narrative together and responded to each of these criteria, I wonder, what does this mean? Does this mean that I personally need to explain my credentials, education, and experience in professional associations? And what's the threshold there? If I'm new in the industry, or could the jurisdiction just not accept it, or what does this mean?
Is there a large year process?
I guess anyone who's filling these out for a living and hired by a company that has a radio frequency engineer and a structural engineer that's preparing their application probably doesn't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. I've been in the industry
What we're looking for is that we're not getting a cell tower application filled out by
Joe Schmo that's got a piece of property that wants to get a permit for his site in hopes of marketing his property to AT&T. So we're expecting, these are professional applications for filed by professionals, and this kind of weeds out the fly-by-nights, yeah.
Yeah,
if that's what you're getting at, there are some codes, maybe you've seen them, where they pivot-spec towers, speculative towers, and that might be a better way of going at this.
What did you say?
I'm not sure
Some counties and cities, they'll have a section of the code where they'll prohibit applications for spec hours, you know, speculative hours. These are towers which don't have a tenant on them. So they require that an applicant have a carrier co-locate to attach to it. Or to attach to the tower. And this, I don't know that this happens very much anymore, but maybe 10 or so years ago, there were tower companies which would just apply to have their tower approved without any antennas or any radio frequency in their information or coverage or whatever, with the hopes of attracting wireless carriers to co-locate. And those are called spec towers, like a spec home. You don't have a buyer yet. You're building it speculatively, hoping that you'll
get
it.
But doesn't this say you have to have a license? An FCC license. Doesn't this say that?
Does it?
Yeah.
Some jurisdictions will require that if you're going to apply for a new tower, you need to have a tenant lined up.
Well,
you can provide their coverage, right. Information, and all that. It's legit.
Chaz, what was the section of the code you were referring to?
There's a section in here that showed that one of the prerequisites is that you could produce your license from the FCC for your frequency. If you can't produce that, you can't get a tower.
The way this code is written, I don't think you could even put in a spec tower because it requires so much coverage information.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I think without addressing spec towers,
you have to have a current coverage area.
I think you can build a new tower without a tenant.
I think we're fine.
I just propose breaking out paragraph BA just because I've never run across anything like it before, and I'm not real sure what it's going after. I think when I first got started in the industry, you know, how do I be professional?
This is a
wireless
holdover.
Yeah, they're qualified that way, but I didn't have any.
This is a holdover from an older piece, and Shivano, is this your language?
Where is it again?
99090.
13, page 13, 13
A,
1A, A1A.
So it's who applies, who prepares the application, basically. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
What the intent of this, you know, is just to know that what they're saying, you know, what they're saying about the coverage, what they're saying about the feasibility and everything like that comes from some kind of expert opinion. That's basically what we're trying to get.
Yeah, it's certified, though.
AT&T's not going to hire some guy from McDonald's to come do this for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much money involved.
They'll get folks like me. There are other folks up there, but I'm not. There's no certification. I'm part of the American Institute of Certified Planners. I have an AICP certification, but that's most of the wireless planners out there don't have that certification.
I don't have a big thing on that because
that's the only certification I have. And
I think we've agreed that we're going to take out the word certified. Because we have no certification process.
And
I'm AICP, by the way, you would want me filling one of these applications, right?
What if we just say, get rid of the first sentence and say the application must list the proposer's qualifications? You know, so we're not saying they have to be anything. We just want to know who this person is and what their background is.
No.
But whatever gets submitted needs to hold up in court and... We're not about to, you know, just throw stuff out there that's got a thin air. You know, we put together the studies and the propagation maps and whatever else we put together.
I
I'm not here throwing out the second time.
It comes from a source.
I don't care so much.
Engineer, maybe we can reference, you know, the engineer, you know,
the engineering. Paul, we're considering maybe just throwing out the second sentence.
What page are we on?
13. We haven't changed.
That's fine.
And then
send me a copy of your AIC piece certificate with your number and all that. I'll decide if you're an expert or not.
So ACE is going to say the applicant must be...
I think Eugene is the only city that requires it to be prepared by an AICP. That's the only other jurisdiction.
Really?
Wow.
Either an AICP or a licensed architect prepares the application.
So page 13, item 1A, the applicant must be prepared by an expert in the field. We're striking and certifies.
Okay. And I think I just put antennas and support structures there because I wasn't sure if we want to do all three or do we just want communication facilities, period.
And we're removing the second
communication facilities
and the rest of that there. You just want one of the three at least.
Well, facilities covers it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, facilities does cover it all.
Let's go with that.
And then remove the second sentence.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, remove the whole second sentence.
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock. How much more do you have, Shivana? Because we really wanted to wrap this up.
I have two quick things that we can wrap up. One is, from what I understand, any wording changes, wordsmith, that tiny stuff, submit to David, and if he thinks it's substantive, he'll bring it back to the committee, correct?
Right, otherwise...
Okay, that's that. Second thing is you're going to put in your notification at 1,200 feet of properties. Remember, you're going to notify all the properties at 1,200 feet.
We don't have 1,200 on our notification.
Yeah, it's usually 750, and we discussed, and you said...
750 and 1,500.
1,500. Oh, 1,500, yeah.
Our notification is a set field.
Right, so 1,500.
Yeah, we have to see where we want to do that. We want to do it in the noticing section of the code. Do you want to make a special reference to noticing here?
No.
Can you make a note of that? I'll get it covered.
Okay.
Was there agreement on 1,500 feet notification or no?
About 1,200.
Well, we have a set limit.
750, 750, 1,500.
I don't care.
We can't.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Puma. Just
notification. Notify everybody in the area.
I mean,
I don't care.
Okay.
I gotta pay for stamps.
Should I move on? Okay. The last two things we may not be able to cover tonight, and one may not be important for the whole group. It's the last two handouts you got.
Mm-hmm.
One, and it may be just discussing with you. There were some more maps that we discussed in the past, and. This handout,
page
application
five,
maps,
page 5,
and it refers to exactly,
it's
page 5E, number 1.
Page 5, Delta 1.
And I don't know if this is what we want to get into all this now. I just want to outline the only other two things that I've got.
This is all it should be.
The thing that I gave out to you, application maps.
This should be all.
I'm suggesting that there are more maps that we could use to really then assess an application.
Maps.
And we have discussed these maps in the past. And
are they required? Are they necessary?
Okay.
So you're adding the green and the bottom.
No, I meant, my understanding was that we had actually approved these in the past, but it's not what showed up in this one.
Yeah, number 1 only has a single line, and Shivana's changes have A through E.
Yeah, we had more lines, but we changed it to the single line.
Why did we change it to the single line?
Have you seen some of the maps that are submitted? Because that's why we changed it. We brought the maps in that day, and we looked at them.
Yeah.
And they didn't make sense, as I recall. They were just...
No, that wasn't. You weren't there.
Right. I don't know, but for me to adequately, if I'm looking at an application, to adequately assess what's going on, I need a few more maps than just a property.
But you need to go to school and learn how to read these maps first. And that's not a dig on you. Uh-huh. You personally are saying you have to know what you're looking at with it. So if you have 50 maps in front of you that you don't know how to read, it doesn't matter if you have one map in front of you that you don't know how to read.
These are pretty simple to read.
Then why do you need more?
I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
The maps that they submit, I've seen the maps that they submit.
Well, if they already submit all these, then that's
not all these, but...
I mean, it's not...
Well,
Dave?
The map of parcels located within 1,200 feet of the subject parcel property line with uses established on each parcel as a matter of public record. I'm not sure what you're getting at there, but...
Okay, make it easy for us and show us what's within 1,200 feet.
Horizontal radial distances, proposed antennas, property lines, current dwellings. We already have that.
It's a lot easier, well, okay. It's a lot easier for the public to review than coming in here and figuring out, okay, what properties is it within 1,200 feet? Since they're doing a 1,200 feet setback...
Okay.
Okay. Seems like easy. They can just...
Well...
Is it duplication?
Aren't we seeing that on site plans already?
Yeah, I'm already getting that stuff.
Good, so it's not more for them. But you're not sure you're going to continue. Everyone is going to get them. If you're getting it, great.
So we get it once, we get them all.
Well, it's part of our site plan. The... If 1,200 foot is a setback, I'm okay with showing the horizontal distance to property lines and current dwellings.
Okay.
Because that is our standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, we're going. Right now, what we see, we've got assessor parcel map indicating all residences within 1,200 feet of the proposed wireless PCS facility.
That's part of
that's the site plan map that we have.
Say it again. They may take care of it.
Assessor parcel map indicating all residences, if present, within 1,200 feet of the proposed wireless PCS facility.
Then you probably don't need this one, if that's already in your site plan. Then you don't need E.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So get rid of E.
So get rid of E. Now, what's your reference on A, B, and C, Dave? To me, it sounds like we're asking for extra things that we don't necessarily need. Especially D.
Oh, I look at their search ring maps all the time, and there's a whole thing. They say a tower has to be here, here, and here, but they're not telling us a tower has to be here, here, and here to do 100% coverage. But it might be. We want to know, when they give a search ring, what is that based on? Because, again, if they're willing to handle 95% coverage, they might be able to colo. So then it's a subjective call. About that extra five, you know, do they colo and get 95% coverage, or do we give them a new tower to get 100% coverage?
I don't know that it ever gets. Does it ever get to that close situation, Steve?
Probably not that close. No, 95, 100, or whatever. No.
But.
Kind of depends. If you're on the edge of town, there may only be one sector, so it's really kind of.
Could we require the search ring? Because we do.
Yeah, we have it in there.
And these aren't brand new. These were with us before.
Yeah, but I'm thinking we've got it elsewhere, and that's why.
Yeah, we dropped it in the section on purpose. I don't remember what that date was.
That was 120, so we were almost at 3.
That was the right one. Almost at 3.
And I don't know if this is something that you just want to think about for
a
while.
A site plan map, again,
mm-hmm.
under
9. So they've got 9.
Is that what you're looking at?
Page 7, thank you.
From page 7.
Mm-hmm.
That site plan map. Meets the requirements of section 42060, which is our regular site plan map standards, and adds, or just identifies, these are the things we want on it. But the search rate we've got elsewhere. Because those are two separate documents.
Well, we have some references to search rings which are part of my changing what I'm going to ask to be changed. Because the search ring is subjective. If you're saying, where can there be a tower that will fill the gap? That's objective.
And
was this where we kind of left off when we were talking about monitoring? This one is about the first thing, and are we going to do anything about it?
Well, there's no legal recourse on monitoring other than if you want to pay for it, you can monitor it.
So that's what that's
I don't get this up 2 times per calendar year, I think.
Yeah, there we go.
Come down.
Well, currently, the location is there. So I want to monitor reference to the search ring there.
Yeah.
Well, you need
that may be true. We may have dropped out.
I get that.
So, yeah, that's cool.
You know, the old analog crap that fluctuated all over the place. But the digital stuff doesn't really fluctuate.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we talked about it here.
Yeah, I didn't update 2 times a year.
But that's okay. We're going to check that.
Replication, setting priorities.
Those are basically the last. Okay.
At random times.
Oh, right. We're talking about that. We're talking about the hiring of the engineers.
Where?
That was being said.
We're okay. And she's got these last two issues, so I'm hoping that everybody will hang around just a little bit and we can get these two done and move out of the hair. But
I'm good.
As long as Dave doesn't cut me off, since it's after 5 already.
Yeah, they're paying all the time here. Are you alright?
Yeah, we're all getting extra money for it.
Yeah, right.
Extra peanuts for everyone.
Yeah, get my cookies today. That's all right.
We've got reference to the search ring.
Which
and
one? Actually,
we got reference to the search ring in wireless facility site plan approval criteria. And what we don't have is it in the definitions of the map.
The maps that we're requiring for new sites, I think, is what we're on here.
I think where we originally had that was in number one. We had coverage map from the closest and most effective potential co-location site. And at one point I had some additions to that section.
Right.
Some reference in that section to the search ring.
This is what was there. I pulled this back out of one of our last things. These were there, and then it dropped down into just one sentence.
These were there. I don't know what you're referring to.
A through D.
A through D.
Was
there.
There.
These were all in there. And then they're gone.
Separate search rings.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
You just struck what?
Separate search ring masters 70, 80, and 90%.
I don't think you did.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that. That went down the road. But the other ones I think do belong in where I originally had it was under one coverage map including the following.
Mm-hmm. Something like
so,
that.
So if A, B, and C are under that, which is on page bottom page 5, number 1, and then makes reference to ABC under that, then we're there.
ABCD?
No, just ABC.
ABC. Siobhan and I are going to arm wrestle over D.
But should we do that out of the meeting?
Please.
But if I hurt her knee, then I'll be in trouble. Okay.
Two. So what are we doing about D?
Taking A, B, and C and adding it to 99050E1,
which is just maps. One can just say maps, and then under it's A, B, C.
And then we struck D.
Well, those are different kind of maps than site plan maps, so I want to call them coverage maps, including...
Yeah. Okay. And why are we striking D? Because they will give us one search ring map, and they will not tell us unless, and they will not tell us what percentage. They're saying the towers to cover this area, the towers can only be here, here, or here.
Is there not a requirement that they have to justify where they site the towers? Believing there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
So they'll say, yeah, in order to get coverage. So what do we mean by coverage? 100% coverage? You know, maybe this area and this area?
That's what the maps are for.
Well, but see, if this area was left out and this area was left out, if this area was left out and this area was left out, maybe the search ring would be that big. But they're not telling us what they're basing these search rings
on. Given the topography of this county and the elevation they're going to need, that's going to probably affect their search ring as much as anything else.
Oh, absolutely.
More than the coverage.
Well, they're going for 100% coverage, basically. So they're certainly